It's time for our weekly check-in with Detroit News Business columnist Daniel Howes. This week, it seems the topic is the fact that the proverbial day of reckoning is at hand when it comes to the city of Detroit. Hi, Daniel.
How are you?
I'm good. Well, the hue and cry set off when the word got out that the treasures at the Detroit Institute of Arts could be in the crosshairs as Kavanaugh tries to work out settlements with the city's creditors. What message does this send to everyone outside of the boundaries of the city of Detroit?
Well, I think it sends several messages, but principally I think it says that Detroit's financial problems are a lot of other people's as well. I mean, there are a lot of people all across the state of Michigan, and certainly in southeast Michigan, that view the DIA as number one, a gem, and number two as their gem. Mm-hmm. They're either members or they go there occasionally or they go there regularly, and it's in play legally as a legal matter and technical matter and financial matter. So I think we're going to have to wait and see how this thing plays out. But the hue and cry that has happened in the last week or 10 days, I would say, is only because people haven't been paying attention. This has been an open secret for a very long time.
And as you point out, there is actually there's money from the Tri-County area involved in this. That millage that was passed involved Wayne, Oakland, and Macomb counties. So what do you see if indeed some of these art treasures begin to get picked off?
Well, I think anything that is perceived by outsiders politically or financially or both to be suburban taxpayer money that is being moved into the city either to pay creditors or to maintain operations of the city and finance operations will be the death of those millages. That's why they set up arts authorities in each of the three counties. Mm-hmm. They are there to safeguard that the money goes into the DIA. It doesn't go beyond the walls of the DIA. It supports the DIA's mission and operations, period. One of the things that Governor Rick Snyder and Emergency Manager Kevin Orr and their people are urging the DIA to do is, okay, we don't want to sell the art, they're saying, but your assets are city assets. Are there ways that you can use the assets, some of the 90% of your art that's not on display, to generate some kind of revenue for the city, that you could create exhibits that you could sell to museums around the country, something like that? Well, the problem with that, I think, is that as a political matter, now they've gone down the millage route. The concern is that anything like that is perceived to be supporting this, using the art to support the city as opposed to using the millage to support the art, will kill that. And then that then creates a need for the DIA again to be raising between $18 and $20 million a year in an environment where donors are going to be very leery to be making large donations to an art museum if they believe that those donations are ultimately going to be used to pay off creditors, pension funds, unions, whatever the case may be. I think there are ancillary fears as well. People, I think they're fearful that they're going to lose staff, that the curatorial staff will leave. What's really important to understand here, whether people agree with it or not and the broader public, art museums at the level that the DIA is part of a very elite club in the United States and, frankly, around the world. And like any elite club, there are written and unwritten rules about how you operate within that. And one of the expectations is you don't sell art to retire debt. And I think there's a lot of people inside these organizations that, frankly, are very leery about being part of something if they were to go down that road. So there is a very distinct prospect. And I think they feel this at the DIA, that they could lose curatorial staff, they could lose development staff, they could lose, you know, people that are either put in impossible situations or are worried about what this says about their career going forward. You know, one of the things that's been floated is potentially selling exhibits around the country. As it's been pointed out to me, those can be $500,000-$600,000 a pop, and the small number of museums that can afford things like that may say, you know what? We're not going to take part in this because the only reason you're doing this is because you're in financial distress and they're forcing you to do something with the art, which is something we don't want to be part of.
Such a catch 22. It's really catch 22.
Well, that's exactly right. And I think the governor and the emergency manager and their people understand that there are things they don't know and there are things that they don't understand about the art world and how you're able to how you can extract value, if you can extract value. And I think one of the things they've been doing in the past few weeks is, you know, looking for solutions. There have been meetings between DIA people and people that work for Kevin Orr saying, here's some ideas, what do you think? And the DIA is coming back and saying that's not workable, or that gets us in problems with our millage, or, you know, all that kind of backing and forthing. So it is a catch-22, and they keep going around in circles. Now, the other thing we have to lay on top of this is, as we speak, and certainly into next week and the week after, they're going to be Kevin Orr is going to be meeting with creditors. And one of the things that they do in these meetings, as I understand it, is they start to lay out, these are the obligations that we have.
Okay.
These are our pots of money. This is how much we can pay. And they begin that process, because everything, in a even in a pre-bankruptcy filing, is all about negotiation. Now, creditors can say, well, I don't care what your problems are. I want 100 cents on the dollar, period. And then it begins this negotiations back and forth about what they want versus what the city can afford. And I think creditors, the fear is that creditors will use not only the DIA, but other assets of the city, the water and sewerage department. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of people believe that the water and sewerage department, because it is a revenue-generating asset that serves 4 million people in Southeast Michigan, that will be a prized asset that will work into this whole equation, and that somehow some of the debt on that will be renegotiated, and they may change who owns that actual asset and create something that can generate some revenue. That's all to be seen. But the point I want to make is that creditors, they cannot force the city to sell. This is a very important point. They can't force the city to sell the assets. But what they can do is they can tell the judge, if they get to that point, in a bankruptcy proceeding, they've got more assets, they're not bringing enough to the table, and the judge can either agree with them and say, you're right, go back at it, guys, or he can say, I don't agree with you, and somehow the DIA's collections end up unscathed. Truth of the matter is, there is no case law that covers a situation like this. This is true legal virgin territory.
Now, we touched on this when we talked last week, Daniel, and I want to get your thoughts a little more deeply on this. To those who will say, well, too bad, getting police to be able to answer a call or getting streetlights on for public welfare and safety, that's more crucial and more important than having a Van Gogh or a Rembrandt or a Degas hanging on a museum wall. Are we going to hear more of that?
Oh, absolutely. And I think you're actually even hearing it from Kevin Orr. You know, just before we started talking, I was looking through his report. And in it, he talks about shared sacrifice, and he talks about how employees have taken it on the chin quite a bit already. And, I mean, he's trying to kind of set the table and even this out. And the reality is that this process is – it is financial, and it is negotiated, but it's also political. Mm-hmm. And I think you have to recognize that the DIA, as an example – I don't want to just pick on them but or focus on them, but cultural organizations – whose assets are owned by the city aren't necessarily a very significant or sympathetic, I should say, victim in this case. Because there are a lot of people that look at this and say, you know, these artworks are worth enormous amounts of money. You got to choose between art and people. And the one thing that I think the governor and the emergency manager want to avoid is that choice. Hmm. And because they know that the optics of it are so clearly against the art in that respect. It's among the broader community, not among the big donors and the patrons. They believe in this very much, and I understand that as well. And the DIA is a real gem in the community.
Yes, yeah.
But that is one of the more unsavory pieces of this. And, you know, as I wrote in today's piece, we've seen this before. You know, General Motors lost half of its brand stable going through bankruptcy. There were things that they never thought would happen.
Yeah, stuff and really got ugly and got real, didn't it?
And one of the truths of what happened in 2008 and 2009 is that the people in this town, and particularly at General Motors and to a lesser extent at Chrysler, had a failure of imagination. They could not imagine that what ultimately happened could happen, much less would happen. And I think that's kind of where we are with the city of Detroit now. There are things that are happening now. This process is running along whether the elected people want it to or not, and it's going ahead. And where we're going to get to on the other side, I don't think any of us really know. I don't think even the governor and the emergency manager and the potential creditors, I don't think they know where this thing ultimately ends up, because so much of it is going to be litigated, negotiated, argued about, back and forth. There'll be political pressure brought to bear on, certainly by unions and their representatives on the process. There will be political pressure brought to bear, I think, on the governor and the Republican power structure in the state by donors of things like the DIA, who also happen to be donors to the state Republican Party and to the governor, who will also try to pressure the situation. So I think this is just beginning, and we really don't know where it ends. This is a huge story, Cindy.
And I know we'll be following that. And as you say, the tip of the proverbial wreckage, and it's certainly something that if people outside of the city of Detroit had been kind of thinking, well, it's their problem, it has certainly been a wake-up call.
I think that's right.
Detroit News business columnist Daniel Howes. Always enjoy our Thursday check-ins. Thanks so much.
Thank you.